Welcome back to Fear or Favour. So we've decided to change the format slightly. What we're going to do now is we're going to do bonus episodes. So every week you will get a case or a story that we're going to cover. But in addition to that, we're now going to start to give you some bonus episodes, quite simply because things are happening so quickly in terms of the news. We want to give you our thoughts in relation to that. And obviously, if we wait a week, it's out of date. So Nazir, so much going on at the moment.
Absolutely. We've learnt this morning in relation to the Partygate or the inquiries in relation to the government's integrity that the report that was commissioned by the Prime Minister, by Sue Gray, Permanent Secretary, will now potentially be redacted because the Met Police, who belatedly, as we all know, have begun to investigate this matter, have indicated that they would prefer that it would only deal with the issues in a cursory way, so as quote unquote not prejudice their investigation, which is quite a laugh really, actually, given we've been calling for an investigation for weeks and suddenly they call it at the last minute. So that I think has been something that's caused enormous concern.
I want to rewind slightly though, Nazir. So let's go back, and we've spoken about this many times. What is it that has caused the police now to finally pull their finger out and say, we're going to do an investigation? Because they could have done an investigation months ago.
Yeah, absolutely. We're told that Sue Gray herself, having completed or compiled her report, referred matters to the police that came to her attention. And where the police are relying upon that, they're saying new information has been given to us by Sue Gray, and that has met the threshold that's required for a police investigation, and that's why they're carrying out this investigation. That's the official account. Mm-hmm. There are several accounts. Another one, of course, is that the report was due right now, and it gives the opportunity for the government or whomever to somehow curtail the detail, because they will say, oh no, the police are involved now, we can wait weeks and months for them to carry out the investigation. So there's that.
I mean, it does smell. You look at this and I have to say, when I heard this morning, I thought to myself, how orchestrated this is. So we have a situation where the Metropolitan Police finally decide they're going to look at it as a result of information they're saying that's been given to by Sue Gray. Let's not forget, Sue Gray has not got a statutory role. She's not an investigator. She's not the police.
She's a fact finder.
She's a fact finder. But of course, the police have decided, well, we're not going to do an investigation because we don't feel there's any evidence to be collected.
Yes.
Oh, that seemed quite interesting, because Sue Gray has done an investigation as a fact finder and she has found evidence. It's calls the police to look at it.
It's exactly what we've been saying. We've been saying this for months now. We've been saying, they kept saying there isn't enough evidence to investigate. And we kept saying, you have to investigate to find the evidence. Yeah. I mean, it's the other way around. And
so Sue Gray's done the job for the police, basically.
Absolutely. And then at this last minute, literally the last minute, the police are saying, well, thank you for doing that, but don't tell anybody what you've found because we need to carry our investigation.
Yeah.
I mean, don't tell anybody. That just stinks.
It stinks. Don't tell anybody what you found, because actually we want to be in a position where we can control the release of that information.
Yes.
And of course, you take that to the next stage, which is the publication of the report. So they're saying the report shouldn't be published in its format. And of course, if it's not published in its format now, it enables the police to control what information is finally released. Because if they turn around and say to Sue Gray, we don't want you to publish that report, I'm sure Sue Gray is not going to turn around and go, well, I'm going to ignore you.
Request from the police, even though it has no legal force at all. I mean, the police can request you to do all sorts of things. Remember all those dramas, they request the suspect not to leave the island. And he doesn't. Well, for heaven's sake, get on the plane and get out of there. So they can request what they like. But the point is that I have little doubt that it carries a lot of force, in particular this type of inquiry. As you said a moment ago, the Court of Public Opinion have said, for crying out loud, get this report out there. All it does is tell us what you found. The police can then carry on their investigation using their powers to find more.
But isn't that the point? So we have an internal report, which is effectively what Sue Gray's report is. She works for she's a civil servant. So she's done this internal report. She's found information out, which she's going to put into the public domain. I cannot see, and correct me if I'm wrong, Lindsay, I cannot see how that interferes either officially through any sub judice or any process of the police.
There is no active criminal investigation, and there's certainly no trial process, which, you know, where potentially there might be contempt rules or reporting restrictions. None of those exist. It is simply using the force of the police and the voice of the police, and hoping that will have some impact on the decisions taken in relation to the content of the report. I said it stinks. I think everybody online has said it stinks. We're at the stage, quite frankly, where people just don't believe anything anybody says anymore, and the police are just adding fuel to the fire.
Yeah, and actually very orchestrated. When I heard this morning, I thought, what better for the Metropolitan Police to be able to control this information, control their process in terms of this, and for the government to coordinate with the police. I may be speaking out of turn here, but there are senior people within government who are talking to senior people within the police around this whole thing in order to control the amount of information that's coming out. There is no impartiality here.
No, absolutely not, and which is what they're meant to be. You know, the commissioner, for the first time in months, if not years, used our phrase, fear or favour, earlier.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, when she was asked in the Parliament about, London Assembly, whether or not, why they're going to carry out this inquiry. Hooray, she discovered that you have to act without fear or favour. But I think you're absolutely spot on. I mean, all it does is feed the conspiracy theories that there's something more going on than perhaps there is. You know, if I was the newspapers, by the way, I'd be really alarmed by this, because just go back to the last major inquiry, which was the expenses criminal investigations in the 10 years ago or so. The Telegraph were daily reporting what they had been given. Now, according to what the police are saying today to Sue Gray's report, Telegraph should have said, sorry, the police should have said to Telegraph, stop reporting this because we're investigating it.
Yes.
And they could, any time the press carry out an investigation, a Sunday Times expose or whatever it is, actually, the police can still carry on their investigation.
I know.
It doesn't prevent it from happening.
I do many investigations where the police are investigating at the same time. And, I've got lots of unsolved murders I'm investigating, and they're still open, active investigations by the police.
Exactly. You know, so the idea of prejudices. They keep using
rubbish.
This word prejudice as if somehow there's some magic word to that. No, police officers do their job. They follow the evidence where it takes them. They're not prejudiced. Prejudice is something that you do to yourself. Don't prejudice yourself, but use the facts that you find in the report to feed your investigation. That's it.
I think let's just look at a couple of the key dates that I think are really significant. So our information is that Sue Gray is looking at least 13 events that are alleged to have occurred. And a couple of those, let's pick out those three key ones. So 15th of May, 2020, we now know the very synonymous picture of 20 people in the garden talking, and the Prime Minister is sat there with his wife, his private secretary, and the former chief advisor Cummings, who I think has got an awful lot to do with all of this. And then 5 days later, on the 20th of May, a social distancing drink that's alleged to have occurred in the garden to celebrate the weather. And 1 hour before, the culture secretary told the nation that one person can meet from outside of a household in a public place. And yet there were a whole group of people meeting in the garden.
In a bubble, apparently. In a household bubble.
Yeah, they're all living together, clearly, weren't they?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
The hypocrisy of it.
It is. And of course, the birthday party, which may or may not have had a cake now, apparently. I mean, the MP earlier on this week that said that the Prime Minister was ambushed by a cake. I mean, you couldn't write this stuff. If you wrote this in fiction or in comedy, they'd say, nah, you've gone too far. But actually, this is the reality now. This is where we are now. We talk about the events, we talk about the parties, and we talk about the birthdays. This is about integrity.
Yes.
This is about whether, we're potentially at war with Ukraine, or we're obviously facing enormous problems at home in terms of cost of living, etc. The people need to be able to trust the word of the government. Yeah. And that is the question here.
You know, why the top news is this. The top news should be that Russia are about to invade the Ukraine.
Absolutely.
I mean, that is the biggest news. I mean, that is going to be absolutely horrendous. And it looks like it's going to happen.
It's catastrophic. Absolutely.
It is catastrophic.
And, you know, and we're talking about these. But my point is that we should be talking about this issue, because how are we going to believe whether the government make the right decisions on Russia and Ukraine if we don't believe them on something as straightforward as this? You know, so integrity is an honesty. You know, I remember in Line of Duty, the Adrian Dunbar character said, "What's happened to honesty and integrity?" You know, he's that absolutely is exactly where we're at. This is what it's about.
It is honesty and integrity, and you and I hold those as very high within our moral compass. But I question some of the integrity and the moralistic positions of some of these, not just politicians, but some of those civil servants that were part of this process.
Yeah.
And you have to question, you know, how is it okay for you to think that it's acceptable to behave in that manner when you're telling the rest of the nation they have to behave differently? And this isn't just about, you know, having a fun party time.
No.
There are people who died. You lost a very close relative.
My brother died on the 8th of April 2020, at the time when we were in first lockdown. We could not, six of us could attend his funeral. We had 30 minutes to bury him. So 29 minutes and 59 seconds, we were told to leave the cemetery. Add to that, I couldn't go myself because the restrictions didn't allow that to happen. I couldn't see him before he died. He died alone at home. And my experience was the experience of tens of thousands of us. Mm. And we complied.
Yes.
We complied with the rules that we were given. And yet we find enormous amounts of evidence, whether redacted or not, that the people who made the rules didn't. And that's what's at stake here.
Yeah, that's very rule-makers who set out that, who stood on the podium and said, "We've all got to do it. We've all got to do it because it's saving lives." Well, you weren't doing it. That's the problem. You weren't doing it. You were living your own little life away from everybody else, breaking the rules. And now, when it's been found out, the Metropolitan Police, who have finally decided to get off their backside and investigate it, have now, I think, colluded. I mean, it's well, maybe a
pressured,
hard word.
Undue pressure, whether there's collusion or not. Somebody needs to investigate that. I don't know who.
Yeah, whether there is.
You know, maybe
it'll be
you
somebody
and I
else. Are. It'll be somebody else. It won't be the Metropolitan Police to investigate that.
Somebody else will investigate them. And then who will investigate them? And, you know, this is where we're at now. We don't believe anything anybody tells us anymore.
No, it's so sad, isn't it?
I know. That's why, you know, I'm so glad that we're doing this podcast, because we do talk without fear or favour. We do say what needs to be said. We're not stymied. We're not persuaded or pushed into saying something that we don't believe. We base it on the evidence that we know, and we also base it on our experience. And I'm glad that we're doing them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think the next 24 hours will be very telling, whether, of course, that Sue Gray report is released in any fashion at all. I suspect it won't be released at all. It will simply be held back.
I think it'll be leaked.
Let's hope it is.
I mean, this is where we're at now. You know, remember, civil servants, whistleblowing occurs, etc. You know, somebody will think, hang on a minute, this is not fair. The public need to know. I'm not encouraging any leaking, so don't come investigate me.
I hope it is. Well, listen, it's about the truth, isn't it? You know, it's about, should the truth be out there for us all to consume and make our own mind up in? And the Metropolitan Police can go and do their own investigation on levels of criminality, but this is above and beyond criminality.
It's a completely different test. Absolutely.
And I think that's the difference. The police have to acknowledge, you know, Sue Gray has, whatever her report says, it is different to what the police investigation is. The police are investigating criminality. They're not investigating whether, you know, what they did and how they behaved is appropriate for a person to sit in a public office and do that.
Absolutely.
And I think we, as members of the public, we are the voters, we elect the individuals who represent us. I think we have and we should be allowed to see exactly how they behave.
I agree.
So let's talk again, last 24 hours, some really significant developments in relation to Prince Andrew, who has responded, in essence, saying, bring it on.
Yep, absolutely. He had to file his quote unquote his defense. The bulk of it is complete denial of everything that happens. In relation to the photograph of him with Virginia Dufresne, he says, he doesn't say one thing or the other as to whether it's real or not. He agrees with her. It was presented as if he wanted a jury trial. Actually, Virginia Giuffre has been calling for a jury trial.
Yeah.
He simply added his support for it and made it look like he was the one calling for it. This is, you know, this is PR at work, and you know, here we are. So that's that issue. Then he's got one final technicality that he wants to pursue, which is the one about her residence. You know, to be able to bring an action in New York, she has to be a resident of the United States. She has a Colorado driving license. She votes in Colorado. So that's why she believes she has the right to bring this action. Prince Andrew's defense say, well, she's lived in Perth in Australia for a long, long time. She has a driving license there and she votes there. That may be. I mean, as I said, I think the judge has made it very clear, already hinted at the fact that he doesn't think that's an issue. Right. The fact that she does have a Colorado driving license, the fact that she is a U.S. citizen, all of those things give her that right. But, you know, this is the final technicality, I guess. And then, of course, underneath all of this, I imagine attempts are being made to settle this matter, which, you know, one of the things that happened last week, if you recall, was the Queen took away all his privileges.
Yes.
And that was, you know, some people said, well, that must be terrible for Her Majesty to do that. I'm sure it was, to be honest. But of course, the cynic in me says that if she were to bring and win an action against them, damages will fall against the royal family.
Yes.
If he's a member of the royal family, whereas damages fall against Prince Andrew alone, based on his American assets.
Well, they've been very clear to say, you are an individual, you're acting alone.
Exactly.
You're not part of the family.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there will be huge, and there will have been for some period of time now, huge discussions and attempts behind the scenes, I think, to try and deal with this so that obviously it doesn't go to full trial. No lawyer is going to want this to go, because
not from his perspective.
Yeah.
Virginia Giuffre, we know, we've all dealt with cases involving alleged sexual assault, and you know, it is really traumatizing for the people to give their evidence. But you know, Prince Andrew's already demonstrated by his interview with Emily Maitlis that he doesn't really stand up to a tremendous amount of scrutiny. The idea that he could appear before a New York jury, given the Americans were very keen 200 years ago to get rid of the royal family, that somehow he would be believed by...
He won't attend, would he?
Of course he won't.
He won't give evidence. I mean, there's absolutely no way. I mean, you can imagine, Prince Andrew couldn't even manage to sit in his chair in Newsnight and adequately answer questions.
Exactly.
And Emily did a very good job, but she's not a forceful interviewer.
Yeah, she's certainly not a cross-examiner.
Some of those very skilled at cross-examining, and Prince Andrew will absolutely fall apart.
Yeah, it's never going to go to trial, whatever people may think. No, it's never going to go to trial with him giving evidence.
Yes.
Let's make that clear. Yeah.
It'll go to
trial with her giving her evidence, but I can't think of any circumstances in which Prince Andrew would want to give evidence before a jury or a judge or whatever it is.
No, brilliant. Well, listen, I think that's we've spoken quite a bit. We've both got a really busy day ahead of us, so let's crack on. Thank you so much for listening to us again on Fear or Favour. Do drop us a line. There's been lots of communication through Twitter and through our website. If there's anything that you feel that we need to talk about or areas that you want us to discuss, please drop us a line and let us know. And continue to tell all your friends and subscribe to our channel. Thank you very much. And I'll just give you a little plug. 8th of February, Ripper Speaks, Channel 5 is my next programme. Thank you very much, Nazir. You look after yourself and take care.
And you too, Mark.
Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Do please tell your true crime friends, and it's important that you subscribe to our channel. If you've got any thoughts or you just simply want to get in touch, you can do so via our Twitter page, Fear or Favour, or go to our website, www.fearorfavour.com. The series is edited by Martin Kayes, the music by Dylan Epega. Fear or Favour is an original true crime podcast in association with Audioboom.